We will talk with a state senator who is a Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor during this half of our state capitol report. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, April 7th. State Senator John Layman of Racine was among the four state senators who gave their farewell addresses before the state Senate last week during its final session of the year. We will talk with him about his thoughts on the state of Wisconsin politics today. We'll talk with him about calls for redistricting reform, as many say that he has decided not to run for re-election because he has been essentially redistricted out of his district. We will also talk with him about his decision to run for the Democratic nomination for lieutenant governor. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And since Senator Layman is a candidate for Wisconsin lieutenant governor, we will also wonder what issues in the campaign for lieutenant governor are most important to you. What issues do you want to know Senator Layman's stances on? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome our guest. John Layman is a retiring or a state senator from Racine who is not running for re-election as a state senator, but is a candidate for Wisconsin lieutenant governor. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
So tell us first why you are not running for re-election as a state senator.
Well, I decided that that I could, looking at it back in the fall, that the best place for me would be to be a backup to whoever was running for governor. And at that time, Kathleen Beinhart was looking at it, and Mary Burke was looking at it. And I thought, with the kind of experience that I have both in local government and in the legislature, that a good place for me at this time would be backing up one of those candidates. We're happy that Mary has declared.
But Republicans say you are not running for re-election because you know you would not win. Is that true?
Well, the 21st Senate District was radically redistricted in this last go-around. You may remember it's now, I think, about 58% Republican, and it's one of the most Republican Senate districts in the state of Wisconsin. I'm a Democrat, and that certainly doesn't help a Democratic candidate. It used to be an all-Racine County district. And then what they did is they jammed the Democrats on the east end into the 22nd, which is now represented by Senator Wirch, drew a line around Van Wongard's house and then went far west, Racine and Kenosha counties, down to the state line. So it was real radical redistricting.
Yeah, and some claim that this redistricting was done essentially to put Van Wongard back in the state Senate. Is that your feeling?
Well, the line goes a half block next to his house on 13th Street in Racine and two blocks away on West Boulevard, and then goes out into Republican territory. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a fact check on that when I made that statement in public, and they said, yes, indeed, that's what the Republicans did.
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts about redistricting in Wisconsin? Should there be an independent commission or panel, a nonpartisan organization making these decisions in the future, and why or why not?
Oh, definitely. You know, we should have a system like Iowa. And I blame both Republicans and Democrats for not adopting that system over the last few years. But we have wonderful folks in the Legislative Reference Bureau who could do a wonderful job at creating fair districts. You know what happens when we have these districts that are so strongly Republican or so strongly Democrat that the middle disappears. And then these people get to Madison and they don't listen to one another because they're so sure that they're going to be reelected. I ran three times for the Senate seat in the 21st in a very competitive district. And from a candidate's point of view, you know, it's not the most fun thing in the world. You got to raise a lot of money and really work at it to get elected. But you also have to talk to the middle. You have to talk to the regular citizen. And from the, if you just stand back and look at it, anybody would say, yeah, competitive districts are what we ought to have as much as possible throughout Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, it really, you are in a, or were in a swing district for sure. You were serving this district in the state Senate, then Van Weingard defeated you, and then you defeated Van Weingard in the recall election. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, all close elections. You know, if you look back in 2006, 2010 elections, very, very close. I won by about 800 votes in the recall. So it's, you know, it's a real slugfest when you have districts like that. But from the citizen point of view, it's better. Number one, you get more attention to the whole political process because people are really following it because they know either side could win. But this goes back to, you know, Joe Stroll, George Petak, Kathy Stepp, Kim Plocky, back and forth between Republicans and Democrats. Racine has always been that district. If you can't win Racine, you can't control the state Senate. So the citizens of Racine really benefited from that. Well, that's all wiped out by the radical redistricting.
Yeah. Well, you, along with the three of your colleagues, were given the opportunity to make a farewell address, before the state Senate last week. What was your message to your colleagues?
It was a rare opportunity. You know, the last time I left the Senate, I went out on a campaign trail. I thought I was going to come back. You know, so you don't really say goodbye. But you know, it was a real honor for me to be, you know, with Senator Cullen, Senator Chalk, Senator Schultz. They've all provided wonderful leadership over the years in the state Senate. And you know, with Chalk and Schultz, over 30 years of service. My legislative service only amounts to 16 years. So it was a really great opportunity to just have some sort of philosophical remarks that encourage people to look at all four of those speeches on Wisconsin. Every single senator was in their seat. It was just a wonderful opportunity. My message was very simple. Thank you to the people of Racine. Thank you to the wonderful services that our staff and the legislative service bureaus provide. It's really an honor to serve as a state senator or as a member of the assembly. It makes me recall 1998, the first speech like that I really heard was Tammy Baldwin's. And I still remember that speech where she talked about being elected on election night in the Madison area. And after the polls closed and the numbers were in, she got in her car and drove around the state capitol and just said, I get to work in that building. And I think all of us, no matter how long you've been there, you do have a sense of awe and a sense of thank you for just the opportunity to do that. And I said, this is a great thing for a former social studies teacher to be able to do, to actually participate in the government. And that was basically my remarks were a thank you.
Yeah, your colleagues, we did have Senator Jauch and Senator Schultz on the show last week, and both of them were concerned at the current state of Wisconsin politics, and especially the lack of compromise and or bipartisanship in the state legislature. Do you share that concern?
Yeah, I could even feel it. You know, coming back after being out a year and a half, I could just feel the polarization and the very difficulty that, from the Democrat side that you had even putting a word in edgewise, you know, it really felt, I was appointed when I came back right away on the mining committee and on the audit committee. And I'll tell you, you get on those committees and all you see is special interest, you know, legislation coming in, not the community spiritedness and the broad view of the public good that we ought to have. Then I was on that Common Core State Standards committee that went all around the state. that was just a dog and pony show to rev up a political group. They never did anything with Common Core during this last 2 years, but it's really an ALEC driven agenda. On the educational issues, Representative Castell and Senator Olson wouldn't have anything to do with all that garbage. And you get Senator Vukmir and Farrell and the ALEC kind of agenda claiming all kinds of things that aren't true, having speakers paid for by the John Birch Society come into these hearings. It's quite a polarized kind of a mess. We really believe that we can do better. I know I've spent a lot of time, crossing paths with Mary Burke and listening to her. And, it's really time to end the 24/7 kind of politics all the time. How can we get powerful advantage over folks? How can we do something for a special interest group? That stuff all has to end.
Yeah. How do you end this? How do you do better?
Well, I think by changing the emphasis from sloganeering in economics, if you look at our jobs numbers, the monthly numbers came out, we're 49th, we're second to last in the Midwest, and Walker is still claiming that we're doing wonderful things. You got to have somebody who has a more reasonable approach, and Mary Burke came out with her plan just a week or two ago that Invest for Success, that really I think is a reasoned approach, taking all the resources of the state and focusing them. In terms of special interest legislation, you just have to stop doing that stuff for all our business friends, and you have to think of a broader public good. I think I'm a former school teacher, so I always think that if you're looking for an economic driver of the state, you focus on the UW system and the K-12 system, and you invest in the struggling schools that we have now. You put that emphasis back on education. I just think we can do a lot better by taking a wider view of what's good for people, sort of starting with the folks on Main Street and say, how can we get money back into their pockets? So they can go out to a fish fry and spend their money and create jobs in a local community rather than that old trickle-down kind of stuff. If you look at what Walker's been doing, it has been, if you look at what happened with WEDEC, for example, they made a lot of dollars and loan guarantees available to certain friends. Didn't even watch, what was going on. They really haven't done much of a good job of trying to develop the economy from the top, even. But we think a different kind of emphasis, more of a bottom-up kind of approach, is much better.
We are talking with State Senator John Lehman. Senator Lehman is not running for re-election as a state senator, but he is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for lieutenant governor. And we are welcoming your questions for him about the state of Wisconsin politics today or the issues affecting the state of Wisconsin and his campaign for the job of lieutenant governor. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. We are talking with Senator John Lehman about his time in the state legislature and his candidacy for lieutenant governor of Wisconsin. Your questions are welcome at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tim in Whitewater is with us first. Hello, Tim.
Well, excuse me. First of all, let me say that my wife is a teacher and so are two of my three kids, so I have a lot of respect for that, but I think it is erroneous to think that we're going to be able to fix the economy by solely investing in education and bad-mouthing industry, but that's another subject. The main question I wanted to ask your guest was, it seems like redistricting is a big issue, and I think there's a lot of gerrymandering going on by both sides. But when you have a situation where the population seems to be shifting into urban areas, and it becomes effective, give them that, for the Democrats to control the voting block in the urban area, what do you do with the rural areas that also deserve some representation too? That tends to be an issue, and that's, you know, I think that's why the Republicans probably do that, is because, you know, they know as time goes on, eventually it's going to be Milwaukee and Madison that controls everything in the state, and the rest of us out in the flyover part of the country and the state feel like we're not represented fairly.
Mm-hmm. What about rural representation, Senator Lehman?
Well, you have seen a number of efforts by the Republicans to restrict voting, and Racine was really, you know, kind of ground zero on all the accusations on voter cheating and whatever. But if you look at what the Republicans are doing, they're not really trying to help anybody vote, and they're not fixing a problem that exists. If you look at, for example, long lines at the polling place where people get there to vote, and they say, oh, wow, this line's going to be an hour long. I'm going home. I'm not voting. You don't hear about that so much in the rural areas as you do in the urban areas. And, for example, just to have decent hours of absentee voting, which the Republicans have, you know, tried to restrict twice now in this last session, is going in the wrong direction. You know, if we're talking about voting and voter access, we should be talking about motor voting, and we should be talking about how to get more people to vote. I spent most of my life as a high school teacher, and we had 18-year-olds, and, you know, just to convince these kids that they ought to vote, you know, we don't tell them how to vote Republican or Democrat or anything, but just to get people involved in the political process. We still have hundreds of thousands of people who are eligible to vote who don't vote. That's what we ought to be working at, rather than some kind of a very restrictive ID system or limited hours or whatever the Republicans have trying to do. Senator Schultz, I think, said it right. It used to be that Republicans went out in the marketplace and they debated with their good ideas and they felt that they could win fair and square. Now they're just manipulating the voting process as the support slips away.
Do you think you'll be back in a special session to pass another voter ID bill after the Supreme Court rules on Wisconsin's current law?
The governor has said he'll look at that decision and then make his decision about whether to come back. But, you know, if we come back into special session, wouldn't you think that it would be on some of those unfinished education topics or on jobs development or something like that? But this whole Republican emphasis on how can we restrict voting, even when the courts are saying we're right on the line of being unconstitutional, is just moving in the wrong direction. And I just lament that. I just think that it's an indication of we want to be in power regardless, and we want to change the rules to be in power as much as we can. And the whole element of, looking at everybody's access to the polls is something that you just don't see coming from the Republican side.
Mary in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Mary.
Good morning. I'm just wondering, have you been backed by anybody else, and why we really need a lieutenant governor?
I'm sorry that I didn't hear the question.
Have you been endorsed by any, organizations in your campaign for lieutenant governor?
Yeah, the endorsement process is just sort of starting. I know I've been endorsed by the AFSCME councils around the state and Madison Teachers Incorporated. I don't know of any other Democrat candidate that has widespread support. And I would expect additional endorsements beyond the support that you get from, you know, hundreds and thousands of individuals. Democrat candidates often are endorsed by labor groups and folks who are trying to support access to the courtroom and other groups. So I would look forward to those endorsements.
Mary also wanted to know, why do we need a lieutenant governor? But what do you see as the role of lieutenant governor?
Well, the lieutenant governor, as you know, is, often serves as a surrogate for the governor. The governor can't be, you know, every place all the time. There is that quality of if the governor is incapacitated in some way, that you do have a person ready to step in, you know, kind of on the model of the vice president of the United States. But in this campaign, I'm not running on a separate agenda of big issues that I want to work on. I'm very well aware of the role of the lieutenant governor as a support of the governor. Right now, what I'm doing is talking about the same issues that Mary Burke is talking about and trying to be a supportive of her during this campaign cycle. And I would take on that same role. I do, however, have a good, solid legislative background, and I've got a good, solid educational background, and I can certainly be of assistance to the governor as she works with the legislature or she focuses on educational public policy.
Yeah, we only have 30 seconds, so what's next for your campaign? Do you have any joint events with Mary Burke coming up?
Well, we're crossing paths, so we have lots of joint events. Sometimes she's just leaving and I'm just walking in the door, but we're all over the state. I'm up in Hayward on Saturday and down in Milwaukee later in the day on Saturday. Right now I don't know where Mary's going to be on Saturday, but I know she's going to be in Milwaukee, so I'll see her there. But that's part of the fun of it. You really get to meet a lot of really interesting people and get all over the state in these statewide campaigns.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us. John Lehman, retiring state Democratic senator from Racine and a candidate for lieutenant governor of Wisconsin. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program and to Cynthia Schuster for on-air production. This is the Ideas Network.